This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about ramune.
Right. Which was an idea that you had based on a love that super producer Andrew has and a suggestion he sent once because it's his birthday belated. But close enough.
Ish, birthday month. Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. We went to his party. We did the thing.
Yeah.
I gave him a glow stick very ceremoniously. As I love to do.
Yeah. Glow sticks are heckin' ceremonious.
It was very ceremonious. out of nowhere, one might say. Yes. Happy birthday. Huge part of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Happy to have you.
Literally couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much.
Yes. This is something I didn't know anything about until he requested it several months or maybe even a year ago. Who knows? But I have seen it since. I went to H Mart and I saw it there. And then I saw it on a menu recently when I was ordering sushi. I saw that they had ramune.
Some. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
But I've never had it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's soda isn't really a large part of either of our lives, but this one is nice. It holds a certain amount of nostalgia for me. It's just so blue, you know?
Not really.
You don't know. Yeah. It's not all that blue, actually. It's clear to mildly blue. So that, yeah.
Okay. Well, you can see our soda episode.
Or our lemonade episode. Both of those intersect here.
This is true. But okay. That brings us to our question.
Mm-hmm.
Ramune. What is it?
Well, ramune is a style of soda pop that comes in a bunch of different flavors and packaging formats, but the classic is this like lemon lime plus something flavor that comes in glass bottles that are sealed with a marble in gasket configuration instead of the now more common bottle cap. It's a sweet, like a little tart, fairly mild in flavor, nicely fizzy. The kitsch of the bottle is really part of the fun, that glass marble is held in position with the gasket by the pressure of the carbonation inside the bottle. So each bottle is packaged with a device that you use to force the sealing marble down into the bottle, where it's caught by a sort of a dimple or pocket like in the bottleneck. The drink is meant to be like fun and summery and like maybe mostly for kids and or a nostalgic older audience. It's a treat at like festivals and picnics and on vacation, especially in the summer. It's like if Sprite or 7-Up was a generic term. And it was advertised more like Coca-Cola.
Okay.
It's like if a snow cone were a soda. It's sweet and simple, like sepia tone in drink format. But don't drink sepia tone.
No. No. You can metaphorically drink it in, but otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, not physically. Don't recommend. No. A side note, y'all, if there's weird construction noise in the background of this one, that's kind of happening. And it sounds like maybe there is a herd from Jurassic Park in my backyard, but it's not. It's just a construction crew.
Are you
all right.
Sure?
I haven't checked yet in this minute, but
that's
last time I
checked.
That's famous
last words territory, Lauren.
Oh, no. Oh, you're correct. Okay. All right. Anyway, back to Ramune. Okay. So it is this interesting phenomenon because the term Ramune refers to this specific, like, smooth, sparkling lemonade sort of flavor. And it's also grown to refer to the specific bottle type. But that means that ramune can be packaged in other types of vessels, and you've got flavors of ramune other than that classic lemonade-ish thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That plus something or ish flavor that I keep referring to is a little bit hard to explain or pin down. It's sort of something like fruity or bubblegummy or maybe like chalky in a pleasant way.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the classic flavor is often tinted light blue or will come in a blue-tinted bottle or will be labeled in shades of light blue. Other flavors are often differentiated through other colors. Several drink companies produce ramune-style sodas, including Sangria, Kimura Drink, and Hatakosen. And there are also local varieties sold as tourist items, and there are lots and lots and lots of co-branding deals with properties like Naruto or Hello Kitty. If you couldn't tell, this product is from Japan. Other than the classic, flavors do vary pretty wildly. They're mostly pleasant fruity things, but they get weird too. So, you know, you've got your like melon, strawberry, orange, yuzu, grape, peach, lychee, coconut, banana, pineapple, that sort of thing. But there's also been like matcha, salted watermelon, chocolate, chili, curry, kimchi, takoyaki, yakisoba, French fries?
French fries.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I don't even know.
Let us know if you've tried it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Okay, the bottles themselves are also known as cod bottles, after their creator. More on that in the history, but let's talk about the science here. Okay, so, right, these bottles are sealed not with a bottle cap, but with a glass marble that fits securely into part of a plastic cap or a rubber gasket that's fitted inside the bottle's lip. And this only works with carbonated drinks. Okay, so you put the marble in the bottle, then you fill it with soda, then attach the cap or gasket. Then you quickly flip the bottle upside down, and the pressure from the carbonation will force the marble into the gasket and, like, stick it there.
Cool.
Yeah. And in order to get it out, each bottle comes packaged with a little like plastic plunger piece, like an open cylinder that has a flat cap across one side. So you place the open end down on the marble and it'll just fit around it and then press down with your palm on the flat end. And with enough pressure, you can pop the marble down into the bottle's neck. The neck is pinched or like bubbled out to keep the marble from rolling around in the body of the bottle. And there are little indentations in one side of that bubble that let you carefully trap the marble and prevent it from rolling back up into the gasket when you tip it up to drink. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a game though. Yeah. little bit of coordination. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And furthermore, because manufacturers know that you probably want to get that marble out, some Ramune bottles are made with the gasket formed into like a screw-on plastic cap, so you can just unscrew it when you're done and tip the marble right out of the bottle.
Oh, I bet people have collections.
Oh, they do. And there's also like intact antique cod bottles are something of a rarity. People theorize because kids just smashed them to get at the marbles so often.
Oh, yep. That makes sense to me.
The classic flavor, though, is also sometimes available in plastic bottles or like aluminum bottles or cans. And if you're going to consume it, you can drink it straight out of the bottle, preferably chilled first, or serve it like over ice or mix it into cocktails. Ramune is also a popular flavor for like candies of various kinds, personal care products like toothpaste, and winds up in other iterations. For example, like limited edition McDonald's milkshakes, which it did in Japan in 2020.
Okay. Well, what about the nutrition?
Oh, soda's a treat. Soda's solidly a treat. Treats are nice.
Yep. Treats are nice. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a couple numbers for you.
Just a couple. Okay, so at its peak of production, I think in like the 1950s-ish, there were some 2,300 Ramune production facilities throughout Japan.
Wow.
I think. As of 2021, there were only 33 left. Of those, 5 exported to other countries at the time. However, one of those, the manufacturer Harakosen out of Osaka, can bottle 65,000 units a day.
Whew.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a fan base, super producer Andrew included.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But there is quite a history into how they got this fan base.
Oh, yes. And we are going to get into that history as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Mother's Day is right around the corner. And in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsors.
Yes, thank you. Okay, as we've talked about before on the show, people have been pretty excited about sparkling water forever. But Europeans specifically, and perhaps the French extra specifically, were really excited about sparkling lemonade in the 1600s. At that time and in that region, lemons were like just becoming vaguely affordable, and chemists were just figuring out how to produce and bottle carbonated water. The first marketed soft drink was a sparkling lemonade in Paris in the 1670s. It remained a popular drink and spread as innovations in carbonation and bottling spread. By the mid-1800s, Schweppes out of London had this popular sparkling lemonade sold in these corked bottles that were rounded in a sort of egg shape or like avocado shape. They had no flat surface because they were meant to lay on their side to keep the cork moist. And they were sturdy enough that they could survive trips pretty much anywhere. Now, this next note might be apocryphal. It sounds apocryphal to me. But legend has it that American Admiral Matthew Perry, who led the sort of bullied slash negotiated creation of domestic relations between Japan and the United States in the 1850s, legend has it that he brought sparkling lemonade with him when he first came to Japan in 1853, and that he really surprised the heck out of some Japanese officials when he popped the cork on the bottle. the legend goes that they were all very surprised, like, oh, that's a new type of gun. And everyone drew their swords and things were very tense for just a second until they realized that it was a delicious drink and they all stood down.
Could have gone a lot worse, I'll say. that is in fact true. But yes. When it comes to ramune specifically, most sources suggest that it was invented in Kobe, Japan in the 19th century by Scottish pharmacist Alexander Cameron Sim. His original idea was based on lemonade, so goes the name, according to some sources. He missed lemonade and he wanted to create some. And so he came up with this product and he sold it to fellow foreigners in Japan. And stepping back a bit into his life, the story goes that he joined the British Royal Navy in 1866. He was first posted in Hong Kong, but then was relocated to Japan in Nagasaki, which was a very important international trade port. And it was one of the only ports to trade with the West at the time.
Yeah, and carbonated lemonade had been imported through Nagasaki for a few years before he arrived, and it seems that at least one local had even started producing some, but it hadn't really caught on.
Right, and as trade opened after a period of strict isolationism in Japan, companies started opening there, and people were looking for opportunities to make money. Sim was one of them. He saw an opportunity, especially after he began working for an import business.
Meanwhile, a businessman in Tokyo may have begun selling a carbonated lemonade product called ramune on May 4th of 1872. And for that reason, May 4th is Ramune Day in Japan? Write in. Let us know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, though.
Yes, that bottle you mentioned. A fellow named Hiram Cod invented the Cod bottle in 1872 using a glass marble to maintain the fizz. Apparently, he was also looking to reduce the dependence on cork.
Yeah, I mean, like, cork can be expensive. It's a natural product, and it can be tricky because it's a natural product. This was also before crown caps had been invented, bottle caps. Also, Cod's bottles could be stored upright on a flat surface without much risk of rolling off. Remember, the other popular bottle design at the time was rounded. And you could buy, like, little stands to set those bottles in. But yeah, they were designed for storage and shipping, not for serving. Also, Cod's marble and gasket seal was reliable and reusable. You could return, wash, and refill the bottle without replacing any of the parts until that gasket wore out. And that was not the expensive part of the operation there. At the time, the plunger piece would have been wooden with like maybe like a little rubber piece on the part that you set right against the marble. Yeah. And he was licensing out this patent by 1873. By 1884, Sim had gone into business for himself in imports, mostly importing medical stuff. And one of the things that he was importing was this carbonated lemonade packaged in these newfangled cod bottles.
And when Ramune was released, it was called Mabu Soda, marble soda, and it was believed to be medicinal and particularly when it came to preventing cholera.
Yeah, sparkling water in general and lots of sodas in particular were intended to be health drinks or downright medicinal at the time. And cholera, which spreads through drinking water or foods contaminated with this one kind of pathogenic bacteria, cholera was epidemic in Japan a few times throughout the 1880s and 90s, so it was a concern. Safely bottled water would indeed not give you cholera. And lemon has been shown to inhibit growth of the bacteria even when it's pretty diluted. So a little bit of something to it.
Yes, yes. But even with that, eventually this product caught on for taste alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. By the 1890s, the bottles were being manufactured in Osaka.
And up until the 1930s, the cod neck bottle, that marble, was believed to retain carbonation. Some companies in Japan continued using this classic design even as technology moved past it.
Yeah, bottle caps or crown caps hit the scene right around the turn of the 20th century. In Japan, much as marble cap bottles are known as ramune bottles because of this specific drink's popularity, crown cap bottles are known as cider bottles. And fast forward to today, it seems that cod-type bottles are only produced for ramune and for Indian soft drinks, like banta.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. Okay. Side note, people like to attribute the word cod-swallop, meaning nonsense, to cod bottles, wallop being slang for beer in British English. So people say, like, oh, like maybe cod swallop was meant to be like a derisive term for soft drinks. It's cod swallop, you know, I don't know. But people think that's a folk etymology. The word cod swallop can only be traced to the 1940s. And it seems to have been retroactively applied to that plunger that I keep talking about. Because you wallop the cod's bottle. Yeah.
Oh, I love when we get to go on these little detours.
At any rate, in 1953, ramune accounted for over 60% of carbonated beverage production in Japan. I think that was the peak right there. However, more recently, the pandemic took a serious chunk out of manufacturing and sales of ramune. In Japan, sales of glass bottle ramune drinks were down 35% from 2019 to 2020, and plastic bottle ramune was down 76%. People just, like, were not gathering and celebrating and touristing and pub-going the way that they usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'd be interested in more recent numbers. So people have started doing that. And I feel like there's a lot of nostalgia attached to, like, going back out and
oh, absolutely. That.
So I'm curious if those numbers have gone up as people have been like, oh, I really miss this ramune.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything about it, but if y'all have any personal experience, please, please, please let us know.
Yes, please let us know. We should interrogate super producer Andrew about what his experience has been.
Oh, it sounds very serious, but okay. Yeah, soda interrogation. I like
it's
it.
It's a very serious show.
Yes, so absolutely.
It's only appropriate. But in the meantime. I think that's what we have to say about Ramune for now.
Yes, we do already have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
listener.
That was a fun one. I don't know if it worked, but I had a good time. So, a lot of you have written in about halloumi.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
Yes, which I made a delicious halloumi pasta. And it was the best. But keep sending in the recommendations. Mm-hmm. I'll get more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not hard. Huh. I will do it. Melissa wrote, I just finished the halloumi episode and found it really interesting that it was a big deal in the UK, as the first time I tried it was on a trip to London. It was the only meatless option at the pub and was served breaded and fried as part of a vegetarian take on fish and chips. Mm. It was love at first bite. Mm. I've since tried a few other recipes, but in the end, I think I prefer it thinly sliced and fried. My favorite recipe combines fried halloumi with pearl couscous, kale, hummus, and carrots roasted in honey and za'atar. Halloumi kind of reminds me of scallops in a way. They're both versatile flavors and easy to cook, so there's a temptation to innovate, but it's not really necessary. All you need is a quick sear and you're good to go.
Oh, both of those things sound really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, halloumi fish and chips?
Right?
Oh my gosh. And then, yeah, this recipe. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I love a fish and chips, but if my substitute, I would not be mad at the substitute being delicious cheese.
No, I think that's great. Oh my gosh. And I do think you're so right. Sometimes you're so caught up in, like, what's the fanciest thing I could do with this?
Yeah, how can
sometimes,
I? Yeah.
sometimes it's just nice to let it shine through. And that's when I made my pasta. It was a pretty simple pasta, and it was just kind of lightly seared halloumi in it. And it was so good. Oh. It was so good.
Oh, I still haven't gotten any. Ugh.
Oh, Lauren. You gotta get on that. You gotta get on that.
Oh heck, I do. I do. And okay, the cravings shall continue because Paul wrote, "Hi, Lauren and Annie. Imagine my joy when seeing the latest episode about something I grew up making and eating. I'm first and a half generation in the States, with my dad born in Cyprus and my mom born here, but her parents were both from Cyprus. My dad came to the States as a war refugee in 1974, as his home was between what's now considered the Turkish and Greek Cypriot areas of the island, and is still uninhabitable and off limits. Making halloumi has been passed down in my family for who knows how long. You were mentioning filtering the brine while heating it up to poach the curd. At this point, if a glass of the milk that was reserved at the beginning of the process is poured in the heating brine, it will make a cheese called anari. This is basically ricotta, and there are two popular ways to eat it. If it's fresh and still warm, sprinkle a little sugar on it for a tasty, and I mean tasty, dessert. If you're not going to use it right away, sprinkle some salt on it and then either refrigerate or freeze. It tends to be a little drier than ricotta and is used in a variety of ways. Grate it over pasta instead of Parmesan, put it in ravioli, etc. You can also put halloumi in ravioli by freezing and grating it or just shredding it. We visited Cyprus when I was 7, and I have a vague memory of surprising my relatives with the amount of halloumi ravioli I was able to pack into my little boy body. My parents later confirmed the accuracy of this memory. Food is a priority in the Cypriot culture, and you will be fed even after you say no more. You usually have to refuse 3 times before you're left alone. We still occasionally make halloumi and prefer 100% goat milk for its bright flavor." Oh, all of that is delightful.
All of those things sound delicious. Thank you so much for writing in with your personal experience.
Yes.
And this history behind your personal experience.
Also in ravioli. Oh gosh.
I know.
That sounds just so creamy and nice. Like
the perfect salt bomb. And I can see right. It like balanced with the like acidity of maybe tomatoes or yeah. Lemon or something.
Yeah. And I really love like a funky goat situation with a pasta because yes. It just really, funky goat situation.
That's where we live. That's what we love. But I love this. As I mentioned, I've been on a big paneer kick, and the person checking me out was like, "You could just make it." And I was like, "That sounds so intimidating." And she was like,
"Oh,
no, you can do it." And so I love when people write in and like, "No, you can just make this."
Yeah, no, you can just do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear anything about this like secondary cheese. I hope I'm not butchering the pronunciation. Yeah, that sounds so good.
It does. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for the cravings. Yes. Thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. If you'd like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.